Hello, and welcome back to another episode of my podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a podcast that used to be called Everything Under the Sun because we used to talk about everything under the sun, but we took it from a spiritual perspective. However, we have elevated. This is season two. We're doing things bigger and better. So this podcast is now called Spiritual Elevation. Yes. So if you're new here, this podcast is about everything spiritual, how to walk a Christian life, how to navigate it through theologies, doctrines, through whatever life situations you're going through right now. This is the podcast for you. So in this season, I have just me, but in previous seasons and in future seasons, I will have other guests come on. We'll talk about everything Christian, everything. So welcome. And yeah. In today's episode, I wanted to talk about something that me and God have been kind of going through, digesting, and trying to understand. And it's a couple of things. It's a combination of discernment, but also obedience. So if that is anything that you're looking for today, please continue to listen. Shout out to those who are listening to me through Apple Podcasts. Shout out to people who are watching me through YouTube. And even if you came from TikTok, just tell me where you came from in the comments. If you came over from TikTok, say, hey, you know, TikTok sent me. Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and start with a prayer and we will get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so, so much for bringing us here today. Father, I thank you for this message that you have been speaking to me and now you'll be able to share it with your people. I pray that we'd be able to connect to it, that you would be able to provide clarity and answers for questions that we've been having, and that, Lord, at the end of the day, your will be done. I pray, oh God, that it will be your word speaking through me and that my personal biases and influences will not get in the way of your message. Thank you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, me and God have been going through trying to understand discernment and obedience and disobedience. So it first starts off as this, and I feel like a lot of young Christians have this question, is how do I know when God is speaking to me? Or how do I know if that voice in my head is me, is God, is the devil, is whoever else? And so even, I guess it doesn't matter what stage you are in life, you're always going to ask yourself this question until you get to understand what the voice of God sounds like. And more specifically, how he speaks to you. So I know everyone hears God differently. For some, it's an audible voice. For some, he speaks in dreams. For some, you have to like really dig into the word to really hear what he has to say. But God is not a cookie cutter God. He doesn't just use those one for you. He has various ways of getting to reach you, if that makes sense. So even if you are a dreamer, that doesn't mean he's only going to speak to you through dreams. He's going to use other means to also get to you. So coming back to discernment, when it comes to discernment, the Bible mentions that the gift of discernment is a gift. So there are certain people out there who have like a strong, let me say, like anointing when it comes to discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is being able to discern or acknowledge spiritual beings or presences within a certain atmosphere, or you're just able to distinguish what's going on in a spiritual atmosphere. And so let's say if someone comes by, you don't know them, but your spirit is telling you this is a good person or this is a bad person. Pretty much that's one way that discernment can manifest. Another way discernment can manifest is if you have an imprint on your heart, or you just feel like something is happening in your heart and you can't tell what. A person that has a gift of discernment and is able to understand, okay, God is saying this to my heart and he wants me to do this, right? But just because there's such thing as the gift of discernment doesn't mean that we don't operate in discernment on a regular day to day. I feel like there's people who have stronger anointings in that, and that just comes naturally to them. But every Christian, if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have discernment. And it's up to us to build that skill and that muscle of growing in that discernment, knowing what God sounds like, knowing what he's saying, and knowing what he's not saying. So I just remember one of the first times where I started to hear God's voice. I remember I was like, I don't know if this is God. I don't know if this is me. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So I put it through a series of tests because the Bible does say to test every spirit. If you are not knowing what the spirit is, you need to test it. And I recently learned this, that what has not been tested cannot be trusted. I'm going to say that again. What has not been tested cannot be trusted. So if you hear a voice and the voice is telling you to do something, say something, not do something, not say something, you need to test that voice and see where it's coming from. How do you test it? I feel like there's a series of ways to do this, but I always question it. I always kind of run it by like some filters. Does the Bible agree with this? Does it sound like God? Sometimes testing it is actually doing it and seeing if it had a good or negative impact. And so let's say sometimes I hear something and I'm just like, this doesn't sound like something that God would want me to do, because in his word, he clearly says, do not da 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 da. So if I hear the voice saying, do this, I'm like, if God told me to not do this in the Bible, it's kind of clear that this is not his voice telling me to do this right now, because there are spirits that do speak and that can influence you to do things that God has not called you to do. But because you hear a voice in your head, you're thinking, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. No, not every voice that speaks to you is the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, you have to build that muscle or that skill to know whether it is God or whether it is not God that is speaking to you. So going back to what I was saying, we all need to build that skill of discernment. How do we do so? Number one, how do you hear the voice of God? This right here, this Bible, if you can't see it, it's a Bible. This is the voice of God. This is the word of God. It's the written, it's the written voice of God, but it's also like it's the written word of God. What God has done and said in ancient times is all written in the Bible. And so if you don't know what God sounds like, just go back to the Bible. Because one thing about God and one thing about his word is that it's timeless. It doesn't matter when he said it, what time he said it, who he said it to. It can apply to anyone else universally. And so what was I saying? I was going to say something about his word, but I definitely forgot. Okay. So his word is universal. It can apply like it did 2000 years ago, and it can also apply today. So when you read it, you start to get a hint of who God is, what he sounds like, what his intentions are sometimes, because, you know, sometimes he doesn't tell you, he just does things. But whenever you're able to read the Bible and understand why he did certain things for certain people, it helps you understand his character. Now, when you get to know God's character, then you're able to understand the type of person that he is. And so whenever you hear something now, you get to think, is that the type of person God is? Now, it can get a little bit tricky if you don't know how to read the Bible, which is why I would encourage anybody to get into a Bible study, submit under a pastor or someone who really knows how to like read the word the way that God has intended it. But the Bible does also say that he gives us a spirit where we don't need anyone else to read the Bible. The Bible says that he's given us his spirit. So number one, if you're trying to read the Bible by yourself, I would highly recommend that you pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you, because the Holy Spirit is the author of this book, right? But many times we get led astray by our own understanding. And the Bible does say to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to him, you know, prayer and supplication. So seek someone who knows how to read the Bible, who can help you understand context and can guide you into understanding and hearing God's voice. That's always the first step. So now that you're reading the Bible, you're getting to know God's word, you're getting to hear his voice, he will start speaking to you in a way that you can understand. So God and I, like I said, have been trying to build understanding on discernment. So he gave me an activity and he pretty much said to find three people in the Bible who heard from God and acted on it, and I should record the response. The second one was in Judges 7, and this is Gideon, the story of Gideon. And so God calls Gideon and he's trying to lead him into battle. And Gideon is like, I'm the smallest of the smallest tribe. What do you want to do with me? And God is like, I want to lead you to take over this nation. And so after trying, this is perfect because Gideon tested God multiple times. So let's actually turn to Judges chapter 6. So it starts with verse 11. It says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, the Lord is with you, O brave man. But Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wondrous works which our fathers told us about when they said, did the Lord not bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? But Gideon said to him, please, Lord, who am I to rescue Israel? First of all, my family is the least in Manasseh. I am the youngest in my father's house. The Lord answered, I will certainly be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites as one man. And so this is where Gideon actually tests the voice. He says, if I have found any favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Now, first of all, he recognized, okay, there's something going on. There's a voice that is telling me that I got to save Israel, and I'm just one person of the least tribe, right? So let me ask this spirit to show me a sign. And actually says the angel of the Lord. So an angel visited him. He spoke to the angel of the Lord and said, show me a sign. So he says, please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring my offering and place it before you. And he says, I will wait for you to return. Okay. So right here, Gideon puts the angel of the Lord through a series of tests. So the first test, it says, the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire flamed from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon realized without any doubt that he was the angel of the Lord, he declared, oh, no, Lord God. For now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face and I am doomed. But then God said to him, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. You shall not die. So right then, Gideon tested the angel of the Lord and saw, oh, this is legit. Okay. So he said, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to worship you. Cool. So the first thing that God told him to do was destroy the altar of Baal. He did it. The next time that Gideon tested the spirit of the Lord was the fleece. Now, this is verse 36, and it says, Gideon said to God, if you are going to rescue Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece, or let's say like a towel, on threshing floor. If there is dew only on the towel, or let me say only on the fleece, and it is dry on all the ground around it, then I will know that you will rescue Israel through me, as you have said. And it was so. When he got up early the next morning and squeezed the dew out of the fleece, he wrung it from a from it came a full bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me so that I may speak one more time. But please, I'm going to test you once more. It says, please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Now let only the fleece be dry and let there be dew around the ground. So God did so that night, and for it was dry only on the fleece, and there was dew all the way around it. So these are three separate tests that Gideon did to test the spirit of the Lord to see if truly, truly, truly what he was saying was true. He used his discernment muscle, and God showed himself that I'm God. Yes, this is what I said, and yes, this is what I'm going to do. So Gideon was obedient, and you can tell that Gideon was obedient because he tested God. He said, are you going to deliver Israel? Like, are you going to use me to set Israel free? God said, yes. He showed him with the fleece. And what happened later on when you read chapter 7, which is what I was getting into, was that Gideon had an entire army of a couple thousand. God said, there are too many people with you for me to hand over Midian to them. Otherwise, y'all are going to think that y'all did this in your own strength, and you are not going to. Now, when you read it further on, you see that God in his infinite wisdom allowed for the 300 people plus Gideon to overtake the Midianites. Now, how did he know that that was going to happen? He didn't. He had to trust and he had to test the spirit that he heard in order for him to be obedient. All right. So that was people who heard from God and did what he said, and the outcome was mighty. He led them to victory. Now, the second activity God put me on was that he wanted me to find people in the Bible who heard from God and didn't do what he asked and record the result. So I have two people. One of them was King Asa, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1 to 9, if you want to go back to that. But this one is a famous one, and I'm pretty sure most people are going to know about it, but it's Jonah. So if you know the book of Jonah, it's 4 chapters, very short, but it's really, really, really impactful. Jonah is a prophet of God. What is a prophet? A prophet is someone who hears from God and delivers a message. Cool. So God had a message for the nation of Nineveh, because Nineveh was sinning and God was about to get these people for their sins. And I mean, get them in the sense that he was about to punish them. But they needed the chance to repent. And God saw that. So he said, you know what, Jonah, my prophet, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them that my wrath is about to hit them. I want you to lead them to repentance so that, you know, I don't have to show them my wrath. Now, doing a little bit of research, Jonah didn't want to save them. He said, okay, so pretty much research shows that Nineveh was one of the lands that oppressed Israelites. They were one of Gentiles. They were one of the people that oppressed Jonah's people. So he did not want to go and save them. If anything, he was like, yeah, God, go ahead and smite them. They don't need to be saved. So what did he do? He ran away. All right. So he hopped on a ship trying to run away from God. But the thing is, you kind of can't escape God because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So he's trying to run away from God. He hops on this boat. And as they're on the sea, there is a violent storm, violent winds. Now, I don't know why he thought he could run from God, but God went to him in the sense of he caused a mighty storm to happen. Now, everybody on this boat is calling out to their God. They're trying to figure out what is going on. And so whenever they see Jonah sleeping in the bottom of the ship, they're like, Jonah, can you call out to your God so maybe that he could hear us and, you know, help us out. So, you know, yada, 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 end of the story. Pretty much they found out that Jonah was the reason of the storm. So they were like, okay, so what do we have to do to stop this storm? He said, you have to throw me overboard. They were like, what? They threw him overboard and they were like, okay, God, forgive us, you know, for throwing him overboard. But when they threw him overboard, the sea stopped, the storm stopped, and everything went back to normal. What did he do? He spent 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Okay, hotel whale. He spent 3 nights, he repented, he heard from God, and what did he do? At the end of the day, he went back to Nineveh and actually preached to them so that they could repent. They ended up fasting, and they were able to escape God's wrath because they repented. Now, before he was obedient, he was disobedient. Why? Because he ran away from God when God told him to do something. The thing is, he knew that God was merciful. He knew that God is all powerful and God is just. He wanted God to show Nineveh wrath because he wanted to show Nineveh wrath. However, God is merciful. So God sent him and he did not want to obey. Now, what I recorded from this is that whenever God tells you to do something and you don't do it, in this case, he ran after Jonah. He said, you are going to do this, right? But it also shows that when you escape or try to escape the assignment that God has for you, you now create a danger for yourself and the people that you are called towards. God sent Jonah because he wanted to save Nineveh. If at the end of the day, Jonah never went to Nineveh, number one, that's a couple thousand people that were going to suffer. And God would have very much well put that on Jonah's head because he told him he didn't do it. But the people on the ship also suffered. So that kind of shows sometimes when you disobey what God is telling you to do, you put the people around you in danger, because ultimately they're your assignment. The people who God has assigned you to, if you do not do what you are called to do for their life, you are putting them in danger. Then you're also putting the people who are in close proximity to you in danger because you're walking in disobedience. Now, I can't imagine being on that ship and somebody's telling me, oh yeah, my God is bringing this storm because I'm not doing what he told me to do. Boy, you better get off this boat and do what he told you to do, because I'm not going to die because you're being disobedient. You know, so sometimes we think God is going to get somebody else to do this when he's called you. And we always think, okay, God, like, you have like a couple other thousand people. There are people who can do this better than me. There are people who can do this that are more qualified than me. Why are you choosing me to do it? And God has his reason for you. There's a reason why, number one, he told you to do it. And there's a reason why he equipped you to do it. And I love, 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 love this quote. And it says, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. What does that mean? He doesn't go for the people who have it all together, that they know they got it all together. No, he goes for the people who he wants, and he gives them the equipment to do exactly what he called them to do. My theory is that those who he calls are naturally humble, or their hearts align with his, that he says, even if I give you the equipment, you're going to do it exactly how I want it, rather than this person who was qualified on all levels to do it because their heart is in a different place. He called you because he saw your heart and knew that you could do it, even if he didn't think you could, because he was going to give you the tools. And one thing about God is all he needs is your yes. All he needs is your yes. All he wants is your yes. Because as long as you say yes, then you say yes to him equipping you. You say yes to him building you into who he wants you to be and sending you out. It's much easier said than done. Like, oh yes, I want to serve the Lord. I want to da 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 da. And then you got all these things coming your way. You're like, did I say yes to this? You sure did. You sure did. But all God wants is your yes. Because with your yes, he can deliver your family. He can deliver your nation like he did with Gideon. He can deliver another nation that needs him like he did with Jonah. He can use you to change the lives of people around you. And oftentimes he will do it with the people who see the problem. Because Jonah was here about a rant. Okay, this is me probably just like paraphrasing. The Bible doesn't say this, but Jonah was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So where are you? Because we, our fathers and our mothers have been telling us about this mighty God that took us out of Egypt and da 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 da, but we're sitting here in the hands of the Midianites. And if you read from the Amplified Version, it kind of breaks down the reason why people do something. So especially in this verse, okay. So whenever Gideon encountered the Lord, it says that he was beating wheat in the wine press. If you didn't already catch it, why are you beating wheat in the wine press? You press wine in the wine press, but he was beating wheat in the wine press. Why? The Amplified says that, okay, so you're supposed to do it on a threshing floor. So the Amplified says that Gideon was beating wheat in the wine press instead of the threshing floor to hide it and save it from the Midianites. The Midianites were oppressing them. So he firsthand is already feeling the effects of slavery or of oppression. And so God knew, I can use him to deliver all of them. And a lot of times we're just like, God, why me? God is saying, because I see that you're suffering and I see your heart for this. So I know that I can use you to take everyone else out of it. He wouldn't have used another person who was content. Yeah, the Midianites are here taking, you know, taking control of us and blah, 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 blah. But who am I? I'm not going to do anything about it. God can't use that person because that person's mind is closed. They don't care. They don't care. But Gideon is actively feeling the effects of oppression to the point where he's not even beating wheat on the threshing floor. He is in the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. That's not a life that he wanted to live. And God saw that and says, I mean, obviously, what did he say? Go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And it's so funny because this is right after Gideon was saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. And the Lord says, go in the strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Then Gideon is like, oh, who am I to rescue Israel? And, you know, at the end of the day, he did, because he trusted in God. When Gideon saw himself, he didn't see himself as an equipped person. He said, I am the littlest of the smallest tribe in Israel. Who am I? But God said, I am going to call you and equip you. And he definitely did equip him every single time. So this person, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I mean, if you feel like your heart is beating, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so clear. God is speaking to you. And this is a part of having discernment, especially if you feel it in your body that like, oh my gosh, this is speaking to my situation. God is speaking to you through me right now. And he's telling you, there's a reason why I told you to do what I told you to do. Stop being lazy. Stop making excuses. Stop wasting time, because delayed obedience is still disobedience. And I need you to do what I called you to do. Get up and do what I called you to do. Don't put it off. Don't put it off any longer. How much longer are you going to wait to do what I called you to do? Did you think I was doing this for you? I responded to your word when you said you would do anything for me. When you sang the songs and said, for your glory, I will do anything. That says, I will get up in the middle of the night and I will pray. I will do what you call me to do. So why is it now that I'm telling you what to do, you're not listening? And the Bible says, and I believe this is Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You call me Lord, but do you know what a Lord is? Like, a Lord is someone over something, someone with authority, someone that when they command something, the people that are under it submit to it. So why are you calling me Lord, but when I tell you to do something, you're not doing it? I'm telling you to go and evangelize to these people, but you're not doing it. But yet you come back and you say, Lord, this, Lord, Lord, Lord. Why do you call me Father if you don't allow me to be a father, if you don't give me the authority of a father in your life? Why do you call me friend, but every time I try to hang out with you, you out here scrolling on Instagram and TikTok? When I say come and read your Bible, you don't want to read your Bible. You're too busy reading comments that you don't even want to read the commentary that's in the Bible. God is saying it's time to get serious about the assignment that he told you to do. Discernment and obedience is what is required to do what God has called you to do. Some of you actually don't even know that you're doing it. Like, you feel like God has told you to do something and it's kind of been so long since you did it. So you kind of lost purpose. You don't even know what you're really doing with your life. And God is saying you forgot your purpose because you forgot what I told you to do. He made it very clear the first time, but because you kept putting it off and procrastinating and treated it like a homework assignment that you never got done, you now have forgotten the purpose of what God has called you to do in this life. Now you're doing quizzes, trying to figure out, what is my purpose in life? What do I like to do? What career choice do I want to go by? But God is saying, if you went by what I called you to do, all of that would have been made clear. So this morning, God and I were going for a walk, and he put this scenario in my mind to make this all make sense. So you're walking on the street and you're at a crosswalk. It's at the intersection of four different roads. Okay. in order for you to get to the other side, you don't just walk across the street. Why? Because there's cars moving in every direction. So the proper thing for you to do, the right thing for you to do, is click on the button and walk across the street. Now, if you don't click the button and walk across the street, and let's say you walk out of turn, you're now jaywalking. Now, in the court of law, I watch a lot of Judge Judy. In the court of law, if you get hit while jaywalking, you are at fault for not obeying the laws of, let's say, the land. However, if you were walking across the street whenever the light was on that allowed for you to walk and all the cars were stopped, you are protected because you followed the law. But when you jaywalk, you are not following the law because there's a law set for you and there's a time set for you. Cross the street after the light comes on and tells you to walk. But if you did not obey that, then whenever you get hit or whenever something happens, you are not protected. And God was telling me that a lot of times what we start doing is we start jaywalking when he's saying, wait for your turn to cross the street. Now, whenever you obey what God has told you to do, there's a provision that covers you. There's a protection that covers you. Once you walk outside of what he's called you to do, dangers from everywhere else come. Every time you jaywalk, you're not bound to get hit every single time. But the time that you do get hit and the time that you do feel the negative effects, you are at fault for not doing the right thing, which is waiting. Now, in the same way, God has told you to do something. His provision covers you. His provision protects you when you obey his command, when you obey his law. But oftentimes we go outside of his law. The dangers hit us and we're like, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And God is saying, did you use the crosswalk like I asked you to? No, but I crossed the street like you told me to. But did you use the way that I told you to cross the street? No, but. And we start to have a, you know, dialogue with God, and we start to blame God for everything that's going wrong with our lives. But God is saying, did you do what I asked you to the way that I asked you to? So like I said, some of us don't even realize that we're disobeying God because we're just doing things the way that we want to, the way we got used to it. The way we got used to. And I want to encourage you to go back to the way God told you to do something and do it that way. The moral of the story in all of this is that God wants you to obey what he has called you to do. He wants you to build your discernment, growing in strength and understanding his voice, and obey so that, number one, those around you and those who he has called you to do not fall, but that also he would reach the people that he wants to reach through you. I pray that you be encouraged. Actually, let's pray. Father God, I pray for the person who is listening to this who has been running from your word, running from your call. Father, would you build them up? Would you encourage them? And would you draw them back to where you called them? We know that you are going to equip us. So we pray that you would eliminate that fear from us and help us draw closer to you to complete our assignment. We thank you for the trust that you are rebuilding in us. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, I hope that you were encouraged. I hope the Lord was speaking to you because he definitely was speaking to me. But I pray that you are encouraged and that you go back to do what the Lord has called you to do. Please feel free to like, comment, share, subscribe, and send this to those who need to hear this message. God bless you.